Sunset, trees surrounding a lake. A Texas flag blowing in the wind.
January 30th, 1991. Dear Diary, Mom was picked up today by two detectives. She has to stay at jail all night tonight. Shanna Harper.
School spirit turned to sinister desire this year in Texas.
It was a case so bizarre that it captured national and worldwide attention.
She's been dubbed the pom-pom mom.
The shocking, unbelievable plot. A small-town mother so obsessed with her daughter's cheerleading chances that she would resort to murder for hire to improve her daughter's odds of getting on the squad.
There's been a lot of negative surrounding the story of my mom, and I'm tired of running from it.
The story of a crime that provided the plot for two TV movies.
If wanting something good for your kids is greedy, then I guess they could label me as being greedy.
Maybe sometimes people just want to believe what they want to believe, and that's fine. I'm the only one who knows the full story about my mom.
You still interested in taking care of that problem? Uh-huh. All right.
I've carried the secret around for too long, and it nearly killed me.
Today, she decided it was time for the public to hear her side of the story.
My name is Shanna, and I am the daughter of Wanda Holloway, the notorious pom-pom mom. And I'm going to tell you the truth about what happened for the first time.
A football player catches a football. In a gym, a cheerleader cartwheels across a mat. A news headline reads, "Cheerleader murder plot." A nightstand drawer opens, revealing a handgun inside. A picture of teenage Shanna Harper. A headline reads, "Holloway okayed $2,500 for hit." Wanda Holloway crying on the witness stand. A headline reads, "Mother accused of deadly jealousy." Then in a recreation, young Shanna Harper watching TV. A title appears on the TV screen, "The Texas Cheerleader Murder Plot." The TV powers off. Channel View Texas, Mimi Swartz, Executive Editor, Texas Monthly.
Texas is this idea of individualism.
Mimi in a diner.
I think it's still a place where people think they can make their own rules and want to make their own rules. So Wanda Holloway is an example of that.
Ann McDonald Meyer wrote a book about my mom.
I worked for a national magazine, and this case dropped in January of 1991 that kind of blew everybody's mind. It became an instant national sensation. And of course, I was instructed to get out there and see what I could find out about it.
Carolyn Campbell, journalist.
As a reporter, we had big murders. 91, 92, two young girls were killed, and I covered that by a man who was a neighbor and worked as a clown. But when it goes, and if you look at that crazy category, that I ain't gonna never forget that one, Wanda Holloway.
Houston was, as it always is, in the process of this constant change. And so I was really interested in, you know, driving a few miles south and coming up on what was really then the heart of Houston, which was, you know, again, a blue-collar town, church-going people, football still mattered.
I personally didn't realize how provincial a suburb of Houston could have been. A lot of the people there grew up there, married there, never left, their parents lived nearby. Because of that, it didn't have a lot of diversity to offer in terms of entertainment and aspirational goals.
A football field.
It was the Texas that everybody wanted to believe existed. And football cheerleaders, those are archetypal characters.
Shanna Widner, me.
Cheerleading was, for me, it was just something that I was prepped to do from the time I was, you know, five. When I was growing up, I was a spitfire. I was very independent, a leader. I was solely focused on my interest, whether it was tap, ballet, painting, piano, modeling. I just remember my mom, she wanted to know if I wanted to be a cheerleader, and I was, you know, what is that? You know, she's like, you know, they wear the little outfits, they cheer for the guys that are playing football, you have, you know, the pom-poms. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's cool. You know, sure, let's do that. And I guess as I got older, it was just something that was going to happen.
A picture of Shannon in a cheerleading outfit.
When I was growing up, and certainly in the 1990s still, the boys' achievement would be to become the quarterback or the star football player, and that could lead to college scholarships and so forth. But even in the 1990s, girls could do the same through cheerleading.
Cheerleaders performing at football games, choreographed dancing and flipping in the air.
If you wanted to do something that indicated that you were popular, your standard of beauty was accepted, you become a cheerleader.
For a long time, there was no, you know, financial help or interest in women's sports. So what could women do? They could cheerlead. You attached yourself to the quarterback because he was the most powerful guy in town. Fat
girl is professional cheerleaders.
So the way that women exercised their power was through physical beauty. And the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders were the apotheosis of Texas beauty in that time.
My mom, I think for her, it was the ticket to being somebody.
My mom, Wanda Holloway.
Tell me about yourself. Describe yourself.
Well, I feel to be very low-keyed. I don't see myself as being a high-profile person.
I would say that she's very tightly wound. That's a phrase a former boss of mine used to use. He'd say, wound a quarter, turn too tight. And definitely Wanda gave that impression from her hair and makeup to the way she carried herself. She just looked uptight.
I'm active in my church. I've always taken a very active part in my children's lives. I mean, that's what parents are for.
She was a striver. And I think a lot of people in Channel View were strivers. It goes back to the idea of Texans at that time and before really not wanting to be considered hicks. So what you did was you read you read Glamour and Mademoiselle and Vogue, and then you figured it out, you know, how you would dress and look to keep up.
A sign reads 16th Street Baptist Church.
She was raised missionary Baptist. You don't have sex before marriage. You don't swim with other sexes. You know, you go to church, usually Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesdays. You know, she couldn't just go do whatever she wanted to do. She had rules to follow.
Somebody like Wanda, your nose would be pressed against the glass because other people get to go to dances and other people get to drink and have fun. And fun was not a part of the Baptist sort of idea.
Tony Harper.
How long you know Wanda?
All of our lives. We divorced somewhere around 79 or 1980, but we have never went to court and asked for custody of those children.
And so, no, she's always had custody, you had visitation.
I don't have any stories to tell you that I've ever been told where, you know, there were just good times with my mom and my dad. And I have maybe a handful of pictures of me and my mom and my dad together. So for me, they were always divorced.
A wedding photo.
Wanda started dating Tony Harper at the age of 16, I believe, when she was a sophomore in high school. He was a senior. They married a week after she graduated from high school. And according to, I remember Tony's mother telling me that they would exchange vicious barbs with each other, put each other down about their physical defects and so forth. And, you know, the marriage didn't last too long.
My mom had certain expectations of what marriage brings. And so when she and my dad got together and things weren't as she anticipated, it made things disappointing. What they thought marriage was, they weren't on the same page. And then, of course, there was infidelity, and think it just became kind of combustible.
Apparently she did not like having sex, only did it when she had to, so to speak. And he liked it and wanted more, so he sought it outside the marriage.
You know, he started making good money, and it gave him a sense of authority, an opinion of himself that he knows best. I think she learned from him how to manipulate situations, how to get what you want at whatever cost.
They, you know, stuck it out for 8 years anyway. But their marriage came to an end by May of 1980.
I do think my perception of him was tainted. And I think my perception of her was tainted because of their desire to hurt each other any chance that they could. And if that meant doing it in front of the kids, then you did it in front of the kids. She learned to fight dirty from my dad, and that's what caused this whole mess.
In a Texas diner, Anne.
When she had her daughter, Shanna, everyone who knows her says that she definitely changed, and all her energies were focused on that little girl.
A photo of Shanna and Wanda.
My mom was pretty much my world. She made sure that we were fed and clothed and had a roof over our head. She just made things run. And I didn't prefer being with my dad because he didn't take care of me the same way my mom did. You know, he didn't make sure breakfast, lunch, and dinner was served. So I liked the care that my mom provided more.
From the time the child was an infant, Wanda devoted a lot of attention to dressing her. And apparently she enrolled her in gymnastics and cheerleading schools as early as 3 years old so that she would be ready for her what her mother planned for her future.
It was always go, go, go. Go, go, go.
A reenactment. Wanda sits in the driver's seat of a car. Teenage Shanna gets into the back seat. Then another day, Shanna getting into the car again.
It started out with like ballet, tap, jazz.
Shanna repeatedly getting into the car.
Piano and then art lessons. Cheer and gymnastics probably 3 times a week. Just constantly had stuff to do.
A recreation in a gym, a girl cartwheeling and backflipping across mats.
It seemed obvious to me that she was living through the child. Even at the house, they'd converted the garage into a little cheerleading studio of sorts. And Shanna was made when she'd come home from school to go directly into that area to practice the cheer routines.
A recreation, Wanda sitting in the stands watching Shanna practice.
I don't think there was near as much emphasis on her schoolwork. She was all about cheer, cheer, cheer.
Waving golden pom-poms. Then static on a TV screen.
I think people talking about her trying to live vicariously through me, I've never really bought into that. I really believe she wanted what was best for me, and this was just the path to take, to open doors and to give me opportunities that she didn't get.
I don't think it's unusual for some moms back then to think, if I can just get my daughter in the right place, in the right group, she'll find the right man who will help her have a great life.
A reenactment, teenage girls practicing in a gym.
Wanda wasn't the only mother in Channelview who wanted her daughter to be the best. When Inside Edition did a profile on Amber Heath and her mother, Verna, it was clear both girls were pushed to excel from a very young age.
Some might call Amber Heath a junior superstar.
Inside Edition.
An award-winning gymnast and baton twirler from the age of 3, her home is studded with trophies more than she can count.
Rows of shining gold trophies.
I started going to a private school, and that's where I met Amber, if I'm not mistaken. I think we were in first grade together. And I somehow realized that she lived on the street that was connected to mine. And we were so excited because we were so close to each other. You know, like, how cool is that? Like, we could spend the night all the time. Like, we're just right here.
A photo of Shanna and Amber.
We were best friends. She came over to my dad's for the weekend. She had come over to our house. I'd go over to their house. And her brother was my first crush.
Shanna driving through a residential neighborhood.
So this was my house. Those windows go to the garage. My mom had it landscaped beautifully. She had a great yard.
Shanna turning onto another street.
And then that was Verna and Amber's house there.
A bungalow home similar to Shanna and Wanda's old home.
My mom and Verna were friends at one time, and Verna actually helped my mom because she was a single mom and she needed help getting us to school. So being that Verna lived around the corner, she would pick us up, take us to school in the mornings. I remember Verna being nice, just normal, just mom. She must have been tough on Amber to a degree, because Amber and I had a conversation once, and she told me that she wished my mom was her mom. And I remember being surprised, like, what's wrong with your mom? I was like, okay, I'll take your mom then. Maybe I felt some interest that my mom had in Amber. Maybe I felt some kind of unknown threat, you know, maybe, with all the trophies and all that stuff that I know impressed my mom. Maybe I was picking up on things I didn't realize I was picking up on at the time.
1989, seventh grade cheer tryouts.
The first year that Shanna tried out for cheerleader was the spring of 1989. At that point, she was in the sixth grade at the local public school, because all the cheerleaders at the middle school were going to be drawn from the girls that went to the public schools that were feeder schools.
Amy Ramburin.
Shanna and I both decided to leave Channelview Christian School at the same time for different reasons. She went to Alice Johnson, and her intention in doing that was because at the time, Alice Johnson had a rule that you needed to go to the school in sixth grade to qualify to try out for seventh grade cheerleader. And so Shanna followed the rules and she went on. But Amber stayed at Channelview Christian School.
Amber Heath had been attending a private school, was technically ineligible to try out for cheerleader, and Wanda felt sure that Shanna would be qualified head and shoulders above the other girls and would undoubtedly be elected.
So I go to this school and it's time to do tryouts. And as we're leaving, Verna and Amber come. And I remember my mom having a negative reaction to that. And I think she was very frustrated that they were there in the first place. Like, why are you here? Because you don't even go to the school.
Verna Heath, Amber's mother, had gone to the school board, unbeknownst to Wanda Holloway, and asked them if Amber could participate in the tryouts for cheerleader, even though she was not technically enrolled in a Channelview public school at that time. And the school board said yes. So here we go to the tryouts. And Shanna, she was beat out by Amber Heath.
I missed it by one, because they allowed Amber to come over from a different private school and try out, even though she wasn't even a part of our district at the time. So had she not tried out, I would have been number two. That didn't happen. And since my mom felt like they didn't play fair, she decided not to play fair either.
A reenactment, Shanna writing in a diary. It reads, "Dear Diary, I really don't want to go to cheer today."
My least favorite activity was probably cheer. I didn't see the point in it. Just doing jumps on the side of the field and trying to get people interested in football, just like, is that necessary?
A reenactment, cheerleading practice.
And I couldn't have even told you anything about football. I couldn't have even told you what we were cheering for. Like, I had no idea. Defense, offense, I wouldn't have known what was going on. The thought of having to get up in front of judges, I think it would send me into like little panic attacks. But I didn't realize I was having panic attacks at the time. Just kind of a feeling of dread. So I remember going to practice. I made a comment that I really just didn't want to do this anymore. You know, I'm over it. Like, it's played itself out, basically. And she wasn't having that. She, you know, we put too much time, effort, and energy and made too many sacrifices to stop now. Like, you're too far in it. That's not happening. And then, you know, people say stage mom, and maybe that's what she was doing. I mean, I kind of feel like she would watch Verna Heath, and maybe she was just trying to be like her. I remember just thinking, like, if you want to act like that, you get out here and do it.
1990, The Ruler Incident. An animated ruler reads, "Vote for Shanna."
The next year, we felt like the odds were better because there were more spots available to make the team.
Cheerleading tryouts.
In order to be selected to be a competitor in the cheerleading election, you had to be screened by a team of college cheerleaders. So Shanna was selected by that committee to be a candidate.
A recreation, Shanna entering a gym.
If you made it past the judges, you tried out in front of the student body. And then the students would get to vote for who they liked the best.
During the campaign season, the school board made a new rule that you couldn't give out candy or any kind of enticement like that, monetary rewards, to potential voters, i.e. students at the school.
Shanna's mother knew this was coming around. She was getting a jump on it. She got these rulers made that said vote for Shanna, and then you can't use anything that's printed on. And her argument is, I already bought this, and they said, oh well.
A flyer reads, vote Shanna.
The night before the election, Wanda needed to make some little voting promotion signs. I think she had some signs shaped like a megaphone made out of cardboard that said Shanna on them. But she didn't have any sticks. So Wanda decided to use the rulers that had Shanna's name printed on them to affix to the sign.
So these people are walking around holding a sign that says vote Shanna, and they're passing out stuff to help me campaign. And one of those rulers with the megaphone got taken up. As a result, I got disqualified.
A reenactment, Shanna walking down a school hallway.
I got called out of class to go to the office. My mom was sitting there. They sat me down and basically explained the rules, I guess, of campaign materials, and said because we passed out the ruler that they were going to have to disqualify me. I was so agitated. Not so much for myself, more for my mom, to be honest with you, because she had put a lot of work into making me successful. That hurt me, that she was hurt. And I just wanted to take the stuff that was on his desk and just, like,
pushing papers off the desk.
I just wanted to just yell in his face, like, what the hell is wrong with y'all? You know, like, it's a ruler. But I wasn't that kid.
A recreation, Shanna leaving the office, then entering a bathroom stall.
And I went to the bathroom. I cried in the stall for my mom. Part of me was relieved. Part of me was really upset because we had put a lot of effort and energy and work into doing this, and again, it fails.
Shanna leaves the bathroom stall and stands in front of a mirror.
I'm not sure who blew the whistle on it. It might have been Verna Heath. But Shanna, she took it well, but Wanda did not take it so well. She had a bit of a meltdown.
I think all of that played into my mom feeling bullied by Verna Heath and the school system in general.
A tear runs down young Shanna's cheek.
So after this disappointment with Shanna's disqualification, Wanda, she began saying it was all Verna Heath's fault, all Amber Heath. If that little Amber Heath hadn't been allowed to run in the first place the previous year, she'd been disqualified. She should have been disqualified because she wasn't a public school student. You know, and it just started rolling. She told her in-laws. She told her friends. She told her neighbors. Anybody who'd listen.
She has a tendency to speak before thinking. But in my recollections, it wasn't always just about Verna and Amber. It was the school system, the cheer sponsors. Like, it was like political. Like, everybody was a part of it. It wasn't just Amber and Verna, although Verna did say in interviews that she specifically felt my mom's negativity towards Amber.
Yes, there was tension. She would watch Amber with her arms folded and comment, oh, well, she's going too fast.
But as far as I know, they never talked about it.
Did you ever think about having a conversation with Wanda?
I did not feel like confronting her. It was trivial to me.
A sign in a residential neighborhood reads, Sterling Green. January 30th, 1991.
I came home from school that day, and I believe Mom had to go run some errands. And she wanted me to practice while she was out.
A recreation, Shanna practicing in the garage.
So I changed, started practicing. I noticed a car was parked diagonally across the way. I noticed what I thought was two men sitting in the car. And they were noticing me. And it was awkward. And I remember thinking, maybe I should go inside. You know, this would be a good excuse to go inside and not be practicing right now because maybe they're going to kidnap me. And then when Mom got home, I heard people talking in the kitchen. It was the two men from the car I had noticed outside. They were police.
Police leading Wanda outside.
And then that was the last I saw her until she came home.
Troy McKinney, my mom's lawyer.
The state had filed charges against her for solicitation of capital murder, seeking to hire a hitman to kill her daughter's cheerleader rival's mother.
Wanda's police photo.
And it began at that point.
January 31st, 1991.
Mrs. Holloway's former brother-in-law, Terry Harper, claimed that she asked him to find a hitman to kill Verna Heath.
Prosecutors say they even planned a kidnapping with talk of selling Heath into slavery.
Terry Harper. What a man. Essentially, Terry Harper was what would be classically called a ne'er-do-well. It started having problems with the law about the age of 13 or 14 by his own admission. I believe he told me he was arrested for possession of marijuana. By the time he was in his 20s, when Wanda was married to Tony, everybody knew it was kind of the black sheep of the family. He was in and out of jail a lot, DUIs, that kind of thing. But he was not the mass murderer type, let's put it that way.
He definitely had some problems, personal issues, personal demons. And I know that he would many times bring those up at Christmas to the family. Like, you know, would give this spiel about, you know, I messed up, but I'm going to do better. But I didn't have any issues with my Uncle Terry. He was good to me.
A picture of young Shanna sitting in her Uncle Terry's lap.
Wanda was well aware of his skirmishes with the law, so when it came time for her to think up trying to find somebody who had connections to the criminal underworld, Terry would undoubtedly be the first person she'd turn to.
She must have been stewing on this for quite a while. And because the family was divorced, she sent her daughter to a family Christmas party to get Terry Harper to meet with her.
The Christmas party, 5 weeks before Mom was arrested.
Wanda apparently had been having conversations on the sly with Terry to discuss the fact that she wanted to get in touch with a hitman. So when it came time for Christmas holidays and the children were getting dropped at their grandparents' house, Wanda gave a piece of paper to Shanna and said, "Give this to Uncle Terry."
My mom asked me to give her number to my Uncle Terry.
A recreation of the party.
We were about to go from the living room, I think, to the, like, kitchen area. I think it was time to eat.
Terry approaches teenage Shanna.
And I stopped my Uncle Terry and I said, "Hey, Mom wanted me to give you this."
Passing a note.
But he took the number and said, "Okay."
Terry realizes that she wasn't just blowing air when she'd said how much she hated the Heaths. Wanda was asking him to take somebody out, i.e. kill them.
A recreation, Wanda and Terry sitting in a car.
But there was something Wanda didn't know. Terry was working with the cops.
Flint Blackwell arrested my mom.
This is part of Channel View. As far as I know, it is still crime infested. I think it was born crime infested.
Flint driving.
And these parking lots right here, spaces, is where we met Terry Harper.
Flint parks his car in the lot.
I got a phone call at the undercover office on I-10 from Terry Harper. And I was in disbelief, actually. So I set up a meeting with him, which George Helton and I, he and I worked together on this case.
He sat there and told them that what had happened with Wanda, that Wanda was asking him to try to locate a hitman. And they were still kind of incredulous, but they said, "Okay, why don't you call her while we listen in? We need to get her on tape."
George told him, briefed him really good on what to say, and we hooked him up to that phone booth.
Tape one, defendant Wanda Holloway.
And he made his first call.
"Wanda, this is Terry."
"Hello, Wanda, yes, this is Terry, how are you?" "Fine, I was just thinking about you." "Well, you was." "Well, I am sorry it was taking so long to get back to you." "That's all right, that's okay." "Well, are you still interested in taking care of that problem?" "All right."
Well,
"I've gotten in touch with someone for you."
Okay.
"And, but I need to know exactly what you want. I know exactly what it's going to take,
So,
when can I get with you?"
We could hear one side of the conversation, his side. And I said, we need to get on this, make sure nobody gets hurt. Let's get this case going.
It's January the 14th, 1990. This is Sergeant F.E. Blackwell. This tape is being worn by Terry Harper in reference to a solicitation of a capital murder.
Their first official meeting that the detectives were going to be listening to the tape of took place in the parking lot of a Grandy's restaurant.
"Okay, what's the deal? Tell me the scoop." "Well, that's what I need to know from you." "Okay." He said he don't like doing children, all right? "I don't either. But, I understand. $7,500 is the most for both of them to be dead." "For both? Oh, okay, that's for both. $5,000 for the girl." "Okay, $2,500 for the mother." "The mother, she ain't worth crap, is she?" "Well, hell, you said. Only $2,500 for the mother? That's it, half down and half when completed. Maybe I should go with the mother and the kid. Maybe she'd be screwed with the mother. Maybe it would mess with her mind."
I remember there being a lot of hedging that she was kept reiterating that she didn't think she could get her hands on that kind of money very easily. And Terry kept saying, "Well, we got to have some money. I can't just go to this guy and say, we'll pay you later. It doesn't work that way."
She was just going back and forth, back and forth. And, my fear was, and George's fear was, is that she would back out from Terry and go and get someone else. And it really happened. So we had already told him, tell her that she needs to either pay up or give us something of equal value to that.
They said they would take, like,
an expensive pair of diamond earrings. You know, we're talking major earrings here. Well, I've got something I can do. I didn't think I did, but now that I'm thinking about it, I do.
So, she brings the earrings to a meeting. They make the transfer. And he says, see you later. I'll let you know. And the next day, she's arrested at her home.
Terry Harper.
I didn't know what to think at first. But whenever I realized that Wanda was serious, I went to the police. And I felt like I'd done the right thing then. I think I'm doing the right thing now.
Pausing, then rewinding the video. January 30th, 1991. Flint sits in a parked car across the street from Shanna and Wanda's home.
It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. George and I had secured our search warrant, and we came over here and waited, and sure enough, it wasn't long. Wanda showed up, pulled up in the driveway. We got out of the vehicle and followed her up to the front door. And I said, look, you're under arrest for solicitation of capital murder for Verna Heath. And she said, oh, really? I said, oh, really? She goes, am I going to jail? I said, yeah. She said, well, let me go change clothes. I said, no, man, we got clothes for you downtown. And I said, why don't you tell your daughter that we're taking you down for some hot checks, because clearly she's not going to understand any of this. And she said, well, I need to call my husband and get me an attorney. So she picks up the phone, calls her husband, whose name is CD, and I can kind of hear him, and she says, I'm going to jail, CD. You need to get me an attorney. Well, I stepped outside and waved the patrol unit up. George stayed in there with her, and he walked in, handcuffed her, and we took her down to the jailhouse.
A reenactment leading Wanda away from her home.
Most people would be in tears, especially a capital offense like that. But it's my understanding she had no qualms about what she had done, and she wished that it had went through.
That's the moment when my whole world fell apart.
The day that we arrested her, I didn't think much about it, but boy, that afternoon when I got home, my parents started calling me and friends and talking about, man, this case, and it was a huge mess.
A Texas woman is facing life in prison because she thought murder was the only way she could get her daughter on a high school cheerleading squad.
The case of a mother who allegedly would do anything to make her daughter a cheerleader.
And it's the talk of the town in Channelview, where Holloway lives.
It started off in just the local news.
She's been dubbed the pom-pom mom, accused of hiring a hitman to kill another mother in the neighborhood, Verna Heath.
It very quickly turned into a national news event.
No matter what channel you watch, you're watching Wanda Webb Holloway on the media.
It truly made the world news.
Life at Channelview High School goes on, but the campus here has become security conscious as the media has moved in for reaction.
I remember being chased by media off the school property and halfway to my house. I remember finding out that one of the people that I thought was a close friend of mine was selling yearbook photos to the media. And that was pretty hurtful.
It was sensational and it was a big story. That doesn't happen every day, even in Texas.
There's people everywhere talking about this. Wanda knocked it out of park with that.
I think they ought to put her away. Anybody that is so jealous that somebody else is going to kill somebody deserves it.
It was just a feeding frenzy. You know, you don't hear about stuff like this very often, especially in the 90s.
Wanda's face on TV.
I think I was in shock. Because, like, holy crap, you know, like, what have you done?
Thirty-six-year-old Wanda Holloway is free on a $10,000 bond and could face life in prison if found guilty.
So when I come home, I know it's not good because she's in her robe and she doesn't have any makeup on. She looks like hell. Mom explained nothing was ever going to happen. And my uncle, he just went off.
A reenactment, Shanna's uncle yelling at Wanda. Shanna stares blankly.
I just remember feeling bad for her because I'm like, can you not tell she's already been through the ringer? Like, she's obviously suffering, okay? We don't need to drag her through the mud any more than she's probably already dragged herself through the mud. But I didn't say that, of course, because children are to be seen and not heard. My grandma told me to stay strong, so I just pushed down all my fear and guilt. Dear Diary, Mom told me that she was gone all day yesterday because she had talked with Uncle Terry about killing Amber's mom. She could go to jail. I really hope she doesn't. I remember going to bed, having the thought like, am I safe here? You know, is she gonna do something to me?
A recreation. In bed, Shanna watches her mother's movements through the crack under her closed bedroom door.
Because I felt like I'm the reason all of this is happening. If I had just made cheerleader, if I had been better, then we wouldn't be here right now.
A light shining through the crack under Shanna's door goes out.
That's how I saw it. I took the blame. This is on me. If I didn't exist, none of this would have happened.
Shanna watching the doorknob.
And I felt that way until I found out the truth.
Here's Larry King.
How do you, Tony, the former husband that's your daughter, how do you explain all this?
I don't try to explain it.
Are you saddened by it?
I feel sorry for my children.
One of the first things that Tony did was hire a lawyer who sought to... Wanda had primary custody at that time. Tony had visitation. He sought to take Wanda's primary custody away from her. And it became impossible for the parents on either side to be able to have substantive conversations with her about what had happened or what was going on, for fear that the other side would allege they were trying to manipulate Shanna in the middle.
Mr. Harper, are the children having problems, to your knowledge, psychological problems because of this?
Well, this has been a great concern of mine with my children, and that's why they are seeing Dr. Kit Harrison, and they will continue to see him as the court has allowed me today to do so.
Shanna Widner, me.
I wasn't comfortable with my dad. My dad made me uncomfortable. I had fear of my dad. Not respect, I had fear. And I didn't want to live in fear.
August 26, 1991, Wanda Holloway versus the state of Texas.
The trial was held at the Harris County Courthouse, and it was jammed with reporters. Interestingly, they could only shoot through the window of the courtroom. No audio was allowed. And Wanda showed up looking like she was attending a ladies' fashion luncheon.
While cheerleading is underway in Channelview schools, the trial of the town's most famous mother is opening with dramatic testimony.
We're not dealing with some faux pas at a tea party here, folks.
When the case came to trial, it turned out that the state star witness for the prosecution was Terry Harper, the one and only ne'er-do-well of Channelview, black sheep of the Harper family, and well-known to the authorities.
Ken Odle, juror at Mom's trial.
I remember thinking, he's definitely not in Wanda Holloway's court. He's not a fan. And I didn't think he was a particularly nice guy.
Ann McDonald Meyer wrote a book about my mom.
It was brought out right up front that he had a checkered past. You know, had to be get that out of the way because it was obvious that his credibility could have lots of holes shot in it just based on his criminal record. But he took the stand and testified about how he came to be in possession of a tape recorder that night in the Grandy's parking lot to start taping Wanda. And when the courtroom finally heard those tapes, all hell broke loose.
Tonight, the public is buzzing about its first chance to hear the tapes.
Well, I just want her out of here. I don't care if they ship her to Cuba and keep her there for 15 years, okay? I mean, I can't stand the woman, Terry. You gotta understand, huh? I cannot stand the woman. I want her gone.
what was on the tapes was damaging. There were parts of it that would make your skin crawl, but the tapes were what the tapes were.
Are you wanting him dead or just injured? Now, if all of a sudden her legs just happened to come up screwed up.
The venom in her voice was unmistakable. There was no way around thinking that she meant every word she said and that she was willing to go through with it. I mean, I think it affected that whole trial from the beginning to the end.
I was watching the news because that's the only information I was getting, because no one was telling me anything. And so I'm hearing her on those tapes, and she just sounds horrible. And I just remember thinking, man, she's not gonna get through this. They're not gonna find her innocent. They're just not.
On August 28th, 1991, the state rests its case. The tapes seem incontestable. The next day, the defense reveals its star witness. The following testimony has been taken directly from trial transcripts.
Ma'am, would you introduce yourself to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury?
My name is Marla Harper.
Who are you married to?
Terry Harper.
Of all people, Marla Harper ended up as a witness for the defense, which was quite a stunning turn of events. Terry and Marla Harper proudly told me that she was at the same time his sixth and his seventh wife. Because during the course of their, I would say, roughly 2-year relationship, they had broken up and gotten divorced once already, and then gotten back together and remarried already.
Were you afraid of your husband?
Very much so.
Why?
Because of the abuse, physically and mentally, that I had went through since before I married him.
She described him as manipulative, as vindictive. The picture of Terry is nothing but a do-gooder. It could not have been further from the truth.
Yesterday, Harper's estranged wife, Marla, said that she was threatened and beaten by her husband in the past. And as recently as last week, she claimed that he beat her because Terry didn't want Marla to testify in this trial.
A news headline, key witness credibility attacked.
Marla knew something about the whole setup with the police and taping Wanda. And she thought there was something fishy about it. So it was quite a dramatic revelation when she turned up on the defense and testified to was that there was a plot afoot to set Wanda up, so to speak.
Troy McKinney, my mom's lawyer.
If I had just heard her story in a vacuum, it would have seemed as strange as the story we had in the vacuum to begin with was as well. But as we got through this, we're able to put the pieces together to paint the entire picture.
A letter from Marla.
Terry, you told me when we went back together that if you ever, for any reason, brought a gun back in this house for any reason, you wanted me to leave you. Well, you've got it. You are a very dangerous person, and you and everyone else knows it. Remember when you lied to the police and when you were bragging about setting Wanda up? I taped you in your conversation with Tony. My attorney knows everything. P.S. I hope you can eventually straighten out your terrible life.
Marla testified that Terry told her it was his idea. She believed that Terry actively disliked Wanda because she had gotten him in trouble with his brother by telling Tony that Terry was trying to hit on her. And that gave him a motivation to try and get back in his brother's good graces at the expense of Wanda.
A recreation at Shanna at the Harper family Christmas party.
When Wanda gave a piece of paper to Shanna, that's where Terry, he picked up the ball and started running with it.
Marla, did you see your husband make a phone call on the day before New Year's?
Yes, he was trying to get in touch with his brother.
What did you hear your husband say to his brother in that conversation?
That he had finally gotten Wanda where he wanted her. That Tony was finally going to get his kids.
How was Tony going to get his kids?
Well, he said they were going to burn the bitch, was his exact words.
Did they talk about setting up Wanda Holloway?
Yes, they did.
Marla testified that Terry and Tony ended up being able to fashion the narrative that made it believable to the detectives. They finally gave him a recorder to record some conversations with Wanda, which is where Terry and Tony's plan to lock Wanda into this for Tony's benefit began to take shape and form. And that no matter how many times Wanda said, no, I don't want to be a part of this, let it go, they weren't going to let it go.
You got to have the money, Wanda.
You got to have the money, Wanda. Oh, I know, I understand that. Because he's going to come after my butt. Oh, I know, but. And when he comes after me, baby, I'm going to say, whoops, time out, hold on. Let me show you where this woman lives, okay? Well, yeah, but he ain't done nothing yet. Nah, what I'm saying is, if he does and you say, whoops, I don't have the money. Oh, no, no, no. Okay, I'm just saying, if I go through with this, he'll have the money.
It definitely felt like there was the potential that they had colluded or schemed together to make this happen. And as I was listening to the tapes, part of me is saying, I can't believe she just said that. Part of me is thinking, yeah, I can see where they're giving her enough rope to hang herself with.
We now had Marla to say Tony was the puppet master, as it were. He was pointing Terry in the direction of where he needed to go to help Tony and not help Wanda.
I think that my dad and my uncle set my mom up. It was just that game of retaliation against each other, and he just had a really good opportunity to nail it to her really hard.
How long you know Wanda?
Since we lived together in the same neighborhood a mile down the street from each other all of our lives.
And you think she did do this? Contrived to do it?
I don't have a comment on that.
You don't have an opinion?
I'm not her judge and jury.
By all accounts, and by the accounts of people who testified at trial, money was probably more important to Tony than almost anything else. He saw himself as better than everybody else, and having to pay child support to her meant that she had one up on him, and he just couldn't let that continue to happen if he had a way to get out of it.
I think my dad gets off on power trips. Every weekend, at some point, you could expect to sit in the living room with my dad and be interrogated for a good 2 hours. Like, he was trying to get ammo for whatever it was he was trying to get ammo for. So, with my mom, I think Dad saw an opportunity to take an unfortunate situation and play it to his advantage. And he unfortunately didn't think about his kids and just thought about getting back at her. And sadly, I wish he had chosen the different path. But that didn't happen either, now did it? So we all get to suffer.
When Marla returned to the courtroom to be cross-examined, the prosecution attacked her viciously.
In cross-examination, the district attorney, Mike Anderson, challenged her testimony, saying, yes, she had been abused and that she had a rough life, but that she had been under psychiatric care for many years and that she couldn't always be believed what she said.
The easiest and best way to discredit Marla would be to look at her own psychiatric history. It's natural to attack the credibility of whatever witness you're trying to attack the credibility of. And unfortunately, Marla put herself in the hospital on numerous occasions.
Well, now, Marla, you mentioned at one point that you had gone somewhere because you hurt yourself.
Yes. Terry had raped me and beat me up before we got married.
Ma'am, can I interject something here? Your stepfather had raped you, is that correct?
That's true.
And your brother had raped you?
My half-brother.
And several other people have tried to rape you, have they not?
True.
But you told the doctors that you had trouble distinguishing between the truth and fiction, yes?
Yeah, I did it for my protection from Terry.
They attacked her personally. What they tried to sell, and perhaps effectively sold to the jury, was the story that she's telling is not credible because of her mental health issues. And when you destroy somebody's general credibility, people tend to not believe a lot of what they have to say, even though it may be the God's honest truth.
I'm in shock, I'm numb, I'm angry. And I'm not going to rest until the woman is set free, because she's not guilty.
Carolyn Campbell.
Most of the adults involved in this case were opportunistic. You just didn't know who to believe. But I thought she was believable.
In Marla's case, the general reaction was, you know, well, you brought it upon yourself if you've stayed with this person. But when you're involved in a situation like that, you feel emotionally beaten down for one thing and physically afraid of what might happen, and trying to leave often would escalate a situation like that.
Today, Terry denied beating his wife last week, but he did admit telling Marla's psychologist several months ago, quote, "I was too drunk to remember if I raped her."
If a prosecutor tried to discredit a woman today for being crazy because she was abused, it would backfire, and it would certainly have helped Wanda Holloway today. But it just didn't get the traction that that bigger storyline did.
I called the chapter in my book about Wanda's defense, "If All Else Fails, Use a Shotgun," because every tactic they could possibly dream up, they dragged out and threw at the wall to see what would stick.
Wanda at a courthouse.
And they had Wanda take the stand in her own defense.
The default position for criminal defense lawyers is don't put your client on the witness stand. It's a quick way to grab defeat from the jaws of victory. Now, there are exceptions to that.
When she took the stand in her own defense, Mrs. Holloway tearfully denied she wanted to have anyone murdered. She said she went along with the scheme because she was afraid Harper would have somebody murder her.
And they'd ask her line by line, "What did you mean by that? What did you mean when you said you just want her gone?" She said, "I was just kidding. I just, you know, was going along with Terry. It was like a joke we were having."
There's simply no intent. Wanted one to go through with this, she'd have said up front, "Yeah, let's kill him, let's kidnap him, and here's the money." She didn't do that.
But as the tapes progressed, especially when the juries had heard them, it was really hard to argue that you were kidding.
Imagine an invisible button that only she knows about that she can push. And if she pushes it, those two people die. Well, she pushed it.
At the time, we all had certain ingrained perceptions of women. You still see it today, where an ambitious woman becomes the villain of virtually any story.
Mimi Swartz, Executive Director, Texas Monthly.
So I think it was very easy to cast Wanda as the villain.
A reenactment, teenage Shanna in bed, staring up at the ceiling.
Trial stuff was not talked about around me at all. But you stand by your family, and I knew her better than anybody else. I knew what she did wasn't a good thing, but I knew she wasn't all bad. She looked really bad, but she's not all bad.
Reporters and onlookers from around the world are once again jammed into a Harris County courtroom for the final phase of what has been a sensational trial.
I only went to the trial the day that she was being sentenced. And the reason for that was I wanted to be able to tell her bye if she were found guilty.
Shoot, has the jury reached a verdict? Would you pass it to the bailiff, please?
People gathered around a TV watching the trial. Then in the courtroom, Terry Harper and his lawyer hold hands as they wait for the verdict. Wanda and Troy standing.
We, the jury, having found the defendant guilty of solicitation for capital murder, assess her punishment at confinement in the Institutional Division of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice for 15 years and assess a fine in the amount of $10,000.
The verdict found Wanda guilty of solicitation of capital murder. I was disappointed. We thought there was a reasonable shot that she could get probation. 15 years was probably a bigger gut punch than the guilty verdict was.
The guilty verdict seemed like a foregone conclusion to me. She had already been tried in the press. She'd been tried in her neighborhood. She'd been tried in Houston. It was not surprising.
Holloway, visibly shaken, hugged her daughter before she was taken into police custody.
Everything just changed in an instant. Like, mom's gone. And oh my God, I'm gonna have to go live with my dad and I'm gonna run away. I'm gonna run away because I'm not living there. And I'll just go hide somewhere. Like, this can't be happening. Like, this is not happening. Because I can't. This is not going to work. I can't go without her for 15 years. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Wanda in handcuffs, Shanna in the courtroom.
Now, Channel 2 News at 6.
September 24th, 1991.
The cheerleader mom case is not over. In fact, today, the whole sordid affair took a dramatic twist.
Charlie?
This case continues to take more turns than a country road, Claire. Attorneys for Wanda Holloway have just filed a motion for a new trial.
Holloway's lawyers discovered that one of the 12 jurors who convicted Holloway was himself convicted of cocaine possession, making him disqualified to serve on the jury.
All of the members of the possible jury panel had been asked the question, are any of you currently on probation for any crime? All to a man and woman said, no, no, Your Honor. But one of the members, it turned out, was on what's called deferred adjudication, which is a variation on what probation is. And this young man didn't know the difference, so he had answered, no, I'm not on probation. And that was the ace that they had in the deck of cards to have the case thrown out just 2 weeks later.
You know, there was, at the time, a little bit of resentment because I speculated that the defense knew.
A juror's document.
We had filled out such an extensive questionnaire. I felt like they had probably caught it ahead of time and didn't say anything. And if the trial had gone in Wanda's favor, then that would have never come up.
I mean, it's to your advantage, obviously, for a new trial. That's why I have to press you on this. You,
I understand.
You did not see it.
We did not know that he was on felony deferred adjudication at the time. He was picked on the jury at the time he served on the jury. We did not discover that until after the trial.
The four lawyers involved, me and my partner and the two prosecutors, all signed affidavits saying we didn't realize it. And ultimately, Judge Godwin granted the new trial.
Wanda walking with Stanley Schneider, mom's other lawyer.
It was a win, even if maybe people didn't think justice was served and whatnot. No one got hurt. No one ever was going to get hurt. It was just words that she had spoken in a very mean way and then made to look really, really bad. So, no, justice wasn't my concern. Having my life back to normal was my concern. I needed my safety net. I needed to be protected, and she was my protector. And when she got out, that's when she was finally able to fight back.
In an exclusive Channel 2 interview, Wanda Holloway breaks her silence about the cheerleader murder-for-hire plot.
I was set up. I was trapped, yes.
Once the trial was over, it was all of the press to that point had been everyone else talking about what Wanda had done. And it was important to her, it was important to us, to get the full story before the public.
The whole thing started off innocent. So it just evolved and just mushroomed. It just kept getting bigger and bigger, and I just couldn't get out. I didn't know how to get out of it.
She will do whatever it takes to see that she does not go to jail.
Wanda Holloway was guilty of no more than being stupid and gullible.
Well, how in the hell did you get into this mess?
By running my mouth and talking to the wrong person.
My mom finally got the chance to have her story heard. So they put her on every news and media outlet they could, and that included Donahue.
Wanda Webb Holloway is here with her daughter, Shanna Harper.
Amy Rambaran.
It was kind of surreal. You know, I mean, I've known her since the first grade, and here she is on Donahue. That was big time back then, you know?
Shanna, let me start with you. Do you believe your mother is innocent?
Yes, sir, I do.
I remember the audience, and they were receptive to me. Not so much to my mom.
Wanda, why would you even think of involving in a murder? I mean, what's this going to do to her daughter? It's terrible for her.
It was intense. It was bad. I mean, people were like booing.
I think that your relationship with your daughter is obsessive. I mean, because this is my mother here, you know, but she doesn't go killing everybody, you know. I want a job, but she's not killing somebody right now so I can get a job.
It was just ugly. I remember thinking, what is wrong with you people? Do y'all not see me sitting here? I mean, I was kind of at least hoping that would be a shield, maybe a softener, of the blows, maybe, like, the, you know, her daughter's right there, we're not going to act too crazy. But no, they didn't care.
Did you know something was going on? Because with all the denial here, I mean, if your mom, you know, was being harassed by your uncle and you're so close, would she have talked to you about it? You had no clue anything was going on?
I did not know that they were conspiring or anything like that.
Why is it so easy to believe that I could want my daughter's competition killed and not believable that two people could have got together, two brothers have gotten together and conspired to set me up?
I think people just believe what they see in the media, and you're guilty. You're guilty. I don't want to hear your reason. There is no good explanation. You're guilty and we don't like you.
And if Wanda Holloway is guilty of what she did, I think she's one very scary woman.
It was ultimately traumatizing for me, and I think it ultimately caused me health issues. I couldn't tell the truth in that moment, and it was like my nerves just snapped, couldn't handle it anymore. And it was a good thing it ended when it did, because I needed to get off that stage.
Shanna driving.
So it's been a minute. Is this the entrance now? Yeah, it used to be a white and blue building.
My old high school.
Did you like this school?
It was junior high, and I don't think anybody likes junior high. I think high school was harder for me when I had to first go back to ninth grade. You know, starting high school is intimidating enough, but with that stigma attached to me was pretty difficult.
A recreation, teenage Shanna walking alone down a school hallway.
Dear Diary, when school started back in the ninth grade, I just wanted to disappear. I wanted to be left alone.
Everyone, without meeting her, saw her as the bad guy, or at least by association, you know, because it was her mother.
Shanna approaches a locker. A post-it note reads, Harper. A note on an adjacent locker reads, Heath.
My locker, Amber's locker, and her brother Aaron's locker were all next to each other because it was alphabetical and I was Harper, they were Heath. And that was a problem.
Amber sees Shanna and walks away.
We had to coexist through the years together in classes where we might have even sat by each other or whatever, but we never talked.
Shanna puts her backpack in her locker.
I think many a time I wanted to apologize, but I didn't.
If somebody wanted to invite everybody to go do something, are you really going to invite Amber and Shanna?
Girls leave the bathroom as Shanna enters.
Nobody messed with me, and I don't know if it's because of what my mom did and they were scared or if they were just minding their manners. All of a sudden, I cared what everybody thought, and then that's when my life just took a turn for the worst in every possible way.
Shanna walks to a mirror and looks at herself.
I lost myself. Totally.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, Mr. Harper, are they going to make a movie out of this story?
I don't know.
I'd bet on it.
We've had over 20 offers from different people.
Do you want to make a movie of this?
I don't know. You know, we haven't made a final decision on that.
Tony had purported to sell Shanna's and our brother's rights to HBO. But the biggest problem at that time was that the temporary orders in the family law case that Tony had asked for prevented him from being able to do that on his own. It required both him and Wanda to agree to it. And Wanda had, in fact, not agreed.
I remember my dad took me out to a steak and ale one night. And he said we were having dinner with some friends of his. I think some business associates. And that was fine. Until they started asking questions about Mom. And I'm not an idiot, and I knew this was more than just some friends of his that were business associates having dinner with us. They were television producers. So I went to the restroom, and I got in touch with my mom and said, hey, we're having dinner, and they're asking me questions about you. And I don't know what to do. She told me not to say anything, so I stopped answering their questions. Later, the court appointed a lawyer for me and got it settled in family court. My mom had nothing to do with it. It was the judge who chose HBO, not me. I wasn't opposed to selling my rights, but my dad forced the issue because Mom, we're gonna bring in more money. Plain and simple. And I still was forced to sell my movie rights, just for the record. Some of the money went into a trust for me, but my dad didn't get any of it. Why should he? Really rubbed my dad wrong that he didn't get that movie right money. Because I'd hear about it years later.
The positively true adventures of the alleged Texas cheerleader murdering mom. Next on HBO.
Terrific. That's great.
That's really the title?
I got a hold of this guy.
Okay, what's the deal, Tim Scoop?
That's what I need to know from you.
Okay.
Exactly what you want done.
The HBO movie was a spoof on everybody. It flattered no one. Nobody came out looking good in that movie.
The things you do for your kids, God.
This bitch is crazy.
I laughed. They made a mockery out of the case.
I actually liked it. I thought it was a very amusing take on the drama.
There's a couple of cops here, and they're going to take me down to jail for solicitation of murder. Can you come get me?
A reenactment, young Shanna watching the movie.
My husband's supposed to come get me.
I didn't know what dark comedy was. So when I went to the movie premiere in L.A., I'm sitting there and there's, you know, hundreds of people packed in this movie theater. And I just remember people laughing at things that I just thought, that's not even funny and that's not even how it went.
Holly Hunter as Wanda.
Mama, when they make the movie, can I play myself?
The appeal is underway.
That's what I'm planning, sister. That's what I'm planning.
Holly Hunter was there, but she didn't want to speak to me. I wanted to speak to her. I just wanted to meet her. I wasn't mad at her or ashamed of her performance. I thought she did her job. You know, it did concern me that she didn't want to meet me. It made it worse. I guess it made it more shameful. So where do you keep it all? You stuff it down inside somewhere, I guess. And it will eventually catch up with you if you don't deal with it.
1996.
A Texas woman has been sentenced to 10 years in prison after pleading no contest to a murder-for-hire scheme to promote her daughter's cheerleading career.
Holloway was sentenced with the understanding she could be out in 6 months.
I was in my first year of college living with my boyfriend. And my mom, she came over and sat us down. She goes, basically, I'm going to have to go away for about 6 months. And then, you know, she said Gatesville, which is the prison that she was, I guess, assigned to, which was super scary. I was scared for her safety.
A prison gate opening.
Gatesville, it pretty much housed all the women in Texas who have been sent to prison. And in some respects, the things you see on TV about prisons are very true. There are a lot of gangs. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of drugs. It is certainly true that people in prisons who have harmed kids are treated differently by their inmates.
They assured me that she would be away from other inmates because there was the fear of something happening to her in there. But one of the first things I heard back is that they didn't keep her separate. And I just lost it.
Television static.
I just could just see her getting, like, beat up, shivved, and, like, you know, nobody there to help her. I was cussing at my grandma, which is not something I do. Y'all fix this. Get her attorneys to fix this. This is not what they said. Like, this is not okay. You have to do something. I was so angry and scared for my mom that it just came out. I couldn't stay strong anymore. The guilt was too much.
Pausing, then rewinding.
Wait, I need to back up. I need to tell you why I felt guilty. And I've only told this to two people in my life before, because it makes my mom look really bad. I knew more about what my mom was up to than I've been letting on.
6 weeks before mom was arrested.
We were alone in the kitchen. We had just had dinner, and she made a comment about, you know, what if something happened to Vern and Amber? We just didn't have to deal with them anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean? Be more specific. You know, like if they just like crashed off a mountain or something, off a cliff, and just didn't have to deal with them anymore. And at first, I remember thinking in my mind the cartoon scenario where you see these little cartoon characters going over a cliff. And then I think I was kind of taken aback and brought more to reality and visualized it like actually something like that tragically happening. And I believe I told her that would definitely make things easier, but, you know, that's not okay. And then it just kind of went quiet because I remember thinking to myself, she's not serious, is she? Like, surely she's not serious. But then she asked if I would give my uncle her phone number at Christmas. I thought that was odd. The next week, she tried sneaking out of church using some lame excuse. I just remember she's lying to me. Like, what is she doing? Like, what's going on? Like, is she having an affair? What? You know, I didn't know. I knew something was wrong, and I didn't tell anybody, but who would believe me? Only person I could have thought that I could have told somebody was my stepdad, and I didn't. I didn't mention it to my stepdad, because if I had have, he probably would have looked at me like I was crazy.
Your mom, would she have talked to you about it? You had no clue anything was going on?
I did not know that they were conspiring or anything like that.
As that kid, it all revolved around me. And if I had just done better, if I'd just made it, none of this would have happened. That was my punishment. So maybe I sentenced myself because I felt guilty. I knew something wasn't right and I didn't stop it. Going into my 20s, it would have been great had I picked up my life and got going and everything was dandy, but it wasn't that way. And a lot of that was based on the fact that my self-esteem was gone. I was not the same person that I had been before all of this happened. I didn't know I was not mentally healthy. I just stuffed things down and tried to find anybody who was going to make me whole again, you know, fix me, save me, be my hero. I ended up in abusive relationships, and I punished myself for years. I literally ended up in my kitchen on the floor bawling my eyes out and just praying to God, please just take me. I do not want to be here anymore. I had no drive. I had no purpose. I just didn't have a will to be here. Like, this can't be what I'm here for. So I got off the floor and I started life coaching myself. Started focusing on my thoughts. You know, is the thought that I'm having right now negative? If it is, how can I change it and make it something more positive? And I had to do that and do that and do that until it became a habit. And then ultimately I realized I'm my own hero. Other people are not here to make you happy. Only you can do that.
As a reporter, I'm there on that probably worst day of your life when I'm covering the story. And you never get to go back and say, how'd you come out?
Yeah, certainly I think Shanna's been the victim of all of this in every possible way. If there was any time she could have stopped it, it would have been when she was a 3-year-old to say, please stop making me do these things. I'm not you.
Now I have a child of my own, so I'm a lot more sympathetic and empathetic to a lot of her motivations, not killing someone, but other, you know, wanting the best for her child. So I wonder if I did that story now, how, if I do it differently.
We're human, and I think we look for answers. Why did she do that? And what makes you fall victim? Even if she was entrapped, what made her fall victim? And I have had to come to grips with, sometimes you just don't have a reason. Sometimes the only explanation is that we just do dumb stuff. So I think Wanda Holloway in the end is just human and did dumb stuff, and I'm glad Shanna survived it.
In 1994, Wanda Holloway settled a civil suit with the Heaths in the amount of $150,000. After 5 years, the judge terminated Wanda's probation early. She also completed 1,000 hours of community service. Terry Harper passed away in 2006 at the age of 50. When Shanna told her mother, Wanda said, good, I hope he burns in hell.
August 1st, 2023. Dear Diary, these days, Mom and I aren't as close as we could be, but I have no doubt that she and I will always be there for each other, no matter what.
My daughter and I have a very close relationship, and I consider myself a friend, as well as a parent to my children. And I take a lot of pride in that fact.
We never talk about her getting arrested. We never talk about the tapes. We never talk about the past much. When I told her I was doing this documentary, she said, why do you want to go bringing all that up again? Nobody got hurt. Except you.
The night that they arrested me, Shanna accepted that very well. She took it and said, okay, Mama, I understand. She said, I know you didn't do this. I know you're not this type of person.
She's starting to realize the toll this has taken on me and my life, the damage it's done.
I mean, that's what parents are for, you know, is to see that their children's needs are met and to help them in any way they can.
Credits.
She knows she messed up royally, and she's apologized for it more than once. She's trying to do better now, and that's all I can ask of anyone. Signed, Shanna.
A reenactment. Teenage Shanna walks down a dark school hallway, a spotlight shining down on her.